You're with SBS Radio.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Episode of New Fast's NITV podcast, where we explore the world of Australia's First Nations people and multicultural communities in the country. This week, we discover the connection between Indigenous Australians and the Filipino community. I am Bertrand Tungandame, and this is the New Fast's NITV podcast.
First of all, we need to get to know one another and the plight of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, who are only 3.3% of the Australian population when they were, at the time of invasion in 1788, 100%. According to the Bureau of Statistics, it's 770,000. And then in 1900, it was reduced to 83%. In other words, Aboriginal population got decimated. But we owe them because they're so hospitable. They're so generous. It's the land on which we stand, from which we have benefited, that has invited us. In their thinking, the land, Mother Earth, is the land on which we all can be united. So we are all bound by the stories of this land.
You just heard there from Deborah Ruiz Wall. Born in the Philippines, Deborah Wall has lived most of her life in Australia. She's an author and filmmaker who has worked extensively on intercultural story sharing between Aboriginal and Filipino women and is also part of the Women's Reconciliation Network. We'll hear more from her later in the podcast. Let's first discover Filipino Australians with Annalyn Violata, producer, SBS Filipino program.
I'd like to begin with the Philippines as an archipelago located in Southeast Asia, composed of 7,641 islands. Dubbed as the Pearl of the Orient Seas because of its rich natural resources and a traditional source of natural pearls and shells, the Philippines is divided into three main island groups: Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao, and the whole country is completely surrounded by water, with the Pacific Ocean on its northeast and east, Celebes Sea on its south, Sulu Sea on its southwest, and West Philippine Sea on west and northwest. Negritos are some of the archipelago's earliest inhabitants. The name Philippines was given by the Spanish explorer Roy Lopez de Villalobos during his 1542 to 1546 expedition to the islands in honor of Spain's Prince Philip, who later became King Philip II. Spain had colonized the Philippines and became part of the Spanish Empire for more than 300 years. The Philippines gained its independence from the Spanish rule on June 12, 1898. As of 2020, the Philippines had a population of around 109 million people, making it the world's 12th most populous country. According to the latest Australian census in 2016, there were 232,386 Filipino-born people in Australia, an increase of 35.7% from the 2011 census. And at the end of June 2019, according to the Department of Home Affairs data, 293,770 Filipino-born people were living in Australia. It is the fifth largest migrant community in Australia, equivalent to 3.9% of Australia's overseas-born population and 1.2% of Australia's total population. The history of Filipinos in Australia goes beyond the recent migration era. It can be traced back as far as the years before the First World War. While most settlement in Australia by those born in the Philippines is comparatively recent, the first Filipinos in Australia is said to have come in the 1870s. They came as ship's crew, pearl divers, and traders who settled mostly in Broome, Western Australia, and Thursday Island in Queensland. By the early 1900s, there were about 700 Philippines-born people in Australia. However, under the White Australian policy and with immigration restrictions from 1901, Filipinos were excluded from entering Australia, resulting in decrease in their numbers until the abolition of racially selective immigration policies. By the 1947 census, there were 141 Filipino-born people in Australia. This number increased in the 1950s, when Filipino students entered Australia under the Colombo Plan, with many of them remained in the country after graduation. This data conform with the research done by Filipino-Australian author and researcher Deborah Ruiz Wall, who found three waves of Filipino settlers. According to her research, the first wave was the descendants of seafarers or pearl divers who arrived in Australia from the late 1860s. The second wave were the entry of students under the Colombo Plan, and in the 1980s and onwards were many Filipino women migrated as spouses of Australians. And the third wave were many migrated as skilled migrants under 457 visa from around the 1990s on work contracts. According to the 2016 census, geographically, New South Wales had the largest number of people with Filipino background, with 86,749 highly concentrated in the Western Sydney area, in particular in Blacktown, followed by Victoria with 51,290, Queensland with 39,661, and Western Australia with 30,835. Among those with Filipino heritage aged 15 years and over, 73.9% are part of the labor force, while the unemployment rate was 6.5%. Of the 144,973 Filipinos who were employed, 40.4% were employed in either a skilled managerial position, professional, including those in the healthcare sectors such as nurses and aged care workers, and trade occupations like auto mechanics. In terms of the relationship of Filipinos with the First Nations people, one prominent Filipino-Australian who had a great interest in learning and connecting with the First Nations people is Deborah Ruiz Wall, who specialized in Aboriginal studies and oral history. Prior to migrating to Australia, Deborah married her Australian husband David in Manila, capital of the Philippines, in 1972. Upon settling in Australia in 1974, she was able to establish a successful career in teaching in the New South Wales TAFE system and became a powerful voice in public policy, in particular on behalf of Filipino women and Indigenous Australians. Among her advocacy, she is proud to have worked hard in promoting reconciliation in Australia between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. She held the position of Non-Indigenous Regional Representative for Sydney, New South Wales Reconciliation Council, and a member of the board. She holds a great connection with Aboriginal women elders in Sydney. She was the convener of the Redfern Residence for Reconciliation, which greatly contributed to the establishment of the Redfern Community Center, which opened in 2004. Up to this day, Deborah takes an active part as a member of the Women's Reconciliation Network, including the production of an educational video resource called Around the Kitchen Table, which featured work on reconciliation by women from diverse ethnic and religious backgrounds, including the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, English, Filipino, Greek, Jewish, and Muslim communities. With this massive contribution in the reconciliation, Deborah Wall was awarded the Order of Australia Medal in 2004. That is for her service to the community in the areas of social justice, reconciliation, and multiculturalism. Filipinos' connection to the First Nations people of Australia is more than just through association. There are those whose roots are embedded in them through blood. Among the younger generations, making their Filipino and Indigenous heritage proud are musician Mojo, an ARIA Award-nominated Australian musician best known for her 2018 album, Native Tongue, and the lead single of the same title. And Filipino Aboriginal rapper Ryan Clapham, popularly known as Dobby. Proud of his Filipino heritage, his mom being Filipino, but his deep connection to Indigenous Australia is what continuously inspiring him to perfect his music, to tell stories and raise issues that are relevant to the First Nations people. Just like his collection called River Story, which tells about the three rivers that form the surrounding tribal boundaries in Brewarrina, New South Wales, from which his family is originally from. Born in Wollongong, a coastal city south of Sydney, Dobby's Indigenous father is from Brewarrina and from the Murawari country in Wilmeringal, New South Wales. As a young Aboriginal person, Clapham uses his music as a vessel to spread important messages to the younger generations. He also believes on the power of music in helping towards bridging and taking action for reconciliation to truly happen.
Let's now hear Deborah Wall's journey connecting the two communities. It all started with a book, Voices of Indigenous Australians of Filipino Descent, which itself was born out of a PhD project.
I got offered a scholarship to do a PhD based on this concept, but it didn't materialize. They wanted me to change my topic, so I did. And I wanted to stay with the region in Western Australia, in the Kimberley. So I did a Filipino ambassador to Australia, and she was very keen for me to finish the book on the occasion of the 70th anniversary of the diplomatic relations between our two countries. As soon as I finished my thesis, I went straight into Torres Strait and added the 10 other narratives. And then I went back to Broome to make sure that what stories they gave me could be updated. And as I pointed out early on, some of the narrators have passed on, unfortunately, but at least their stories have been preserved, yeah.
The momentum would change when the Prime Minister of the time put reconciliation on the agenda. Naturally, Deborah Wall joined the reconciliation movement and went even one step further, moving to Redfern, a suburb in Sydney with a large First Nations community with whom she would build very strong ties.
I joined the Women's Reconciliation Network, and I joined the Redfern Residence for Reconciliation. I even went to Redfern and lived there in order to, again, form relationship with the Aboriginal people.
While living with the community, Deborah Wall was able to establish very strong ties with Aboriginal people, and she also got a better understanding of the many prejudices affecting them, as well as their extraordinary resilience.
I look at how the government, the policy of the government at the time, set the background that set the limits for their ability to move up or ahead, further their education, for example, as you saw in the video. You know, they had to actually come up with the strategies, they had to have resilience and determination and break the obstacles that confront them.
Deborah Wall also promoted connections between First Nations people and the Filipino community. And Filipinos were introduced to a reality far removed from the mainstream narrative.
And come September, there is an international delegation from the Philippines. Dave Maceda is the head of teachers and students, and they've invited me, and I mentioned Auntie Beryl and Auntie Alice stories, and they said, oh, could you invite them too? Because when they were here last year, another group of teachers and students, they wanted to learn about, yes, institutions and how governance runs here, including the Aboriginal First Nations people. So what better than straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, would they to receive that kind of orientation? I got the feeling they were rather confused because what they were getting in terms of orientation from the public service, all good. It's not their reality. So when I spoke, they thought, gee, this is different from what we've heard so far. So I could see that they had wrinkles on their foreheads and thinking, you know, what? Why is this story different? So I was thinking, when they ask me again, I'll actually invite my Aboriginal elder friends. It will come straight from them.
Deborah Rawls' work was acknowledged with a prestigious national recognition.
I was awarded the Order of Australia Medal in relation to my contribution to the community in multiculturalism, social justice, and reconciliation. So my main push is to get to know the people, the original people of this land, get to learn from their culture, and my Australianness to be enriched by that. So I think it's a lesson also for governments when they're designing policies to really, in their heart, believe that we are very rich in terms of multicultural Australia and that all of the heritage that we have should be acknowledged and honoured. And it shouldn't just be rhetoric like with in terms of cultural diversity.
And that's it for this episode of the New Fast NITV podcast. Thank you to our guests, Deborah Ruiz-Wall, SBS Filipino producer Annalyn Violata, and all the colleagues at SBS Filipino. If you want to listen to more of our podcasts, the NITV podcast and the Our Story podcast, just go to where you get your podcasts from.
Three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids HAPPY ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.